installment of Myths for the Modern Man. I'm your co-host, Ian.
And I am Tommy.
And I'm Nick.
And today, we're going to talk about a secret. But first, let's talk about some news. In today's news...
Yeah, so something I like to do is see headlines and kind of have an idea of what's going on, and then do absolutely no reading as to what's actually going on.
And just, like, formulate your own opinion.
Exactly. So as far as I'm concerned, right now, Shia LaBeouf is, like, currently, like, suffering, I don't know, some kind of anxiety because it turns out he's the only one who can get this all out of the Matrix.
No one understands his art.
Yeah, he's like an artist that's painting his way out of the Matrix.
He's just eternally frustrated that he keeps offering us basically gold and nobody understands it.
Yeah. Like, we just don't appreciate his genius.
So, no, but in reality, so what is actually going on? I have really no clue. I just don't,
It's been going on for a while.
Yeah, it's been a
slow burn. But after Transformers, he was all like, I want to be taken seriously as an artist.
Yeah, so he started doing really artsy films, and then, I mean, the real catalyst was, what was it? He made a movie, or he started making a movie that he offered as his own work, but it was like a complete, like, shot-for-shot, word-for-word remake, basically, of this, like, comic book by some Italian guy. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, anyways, and he was just like, yeah, this is my new movie, and everybody was like, no, this is, like, a well-known comic. Then he got all butthurt about it, and then he released an apology, but he plagiarized the apology. he plagiarized
it's
the apology.
All part of the plan.
Then he made an apology for that apology, where he plagiarized Yahoo Answers for that apology.
Are you serious?
And then the third time he apologized again, but he had someone skywrite it for him.
So he doesn't have an original thought in his head.
Yeah,
basically.
Pretty much. And then he went on all these, like, interviews and stuff trying to defend it, basically saying, no, what I do is the highest form of art.
Yeah, he's blaming
trying to justify it. He never, like, once admitted that he did something wrong, really.
Yeah.
He pretended like he did, but he didn't really, and just constantly tried to justify it by saying that nobody understood what he was really trying to do.
Yeah, he's turning into some weird examination of celebrity culture and how we perceive celebrities and all this stuff. And none of us, like, yeah, he's famous, but he's not, like, when I think of, like, A-list stars, Shia LaBeouf doesn't come to mind.
Nope.
At all.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the Transformers franchise, which, I mean...
Which now Mark Wahlberg's gonna be in.
Word.
I am happy about that.
That's like the first Transformers movie I'm like slightly interested.
Because it's got Dinobots, man.
Yeah, it has Dinobots. Which are close to Beast Wars.
The first one was fun because it was new.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair enough. But anyways, he was recently in like that art exhibit where like...
Yeah, that's
he,
what...
People get to got to poke him with sticks and he cried. And it was like artistic.
Yeah, he rented out some little shop in where... Los Angeles?
Wait, I think it was New York.
New York, yeah. Where it was just some little shop where he blacked out the windows and then people stood in line and one at a time would go inside. He had, like, all this weird stuff laid out on a table.
Okay.
And, like for example, like, a bowl of filled with paper of, like, tweets that were saying mean things about him. And he was just, like, sitting in a chair with a bag on his head. And you would just come in, and he didn't say anything, apparently, like, the whole time. But the bag was, like, all wet from him crying or something.
Like, so,
he showed up at the Berlin Film Festival wearing a paper bag, saying, I am not famous anymore, or something like that. He's, like, there's so many different ways to perceive it. Like, I don't know. Like,
so,
is he trolling? Kind of. Is he truly disturbed? I don't know. Possibly. I mean, clearly he's... How old is he? Like 26 or something like that?
27, yeah.
Like, clearly he's having some weird spiritual journey right now, and he's using his celebrity status to take it to bizarre new heights. Yeah. But
supposedly he's done, like, a ton of drugs, and, you know, I mean, par for the course, and, like, LSD and stuff, so he could have just completely wrecked his
mind.
Well,
he's also interested in method acting. Like, he's now, like, obsessed with method acting.
So it's kind of like a perfect storm of all this stuff coming together to make...
Making
a
the
male,
really, the male,
a really
Amanda
odd
Bynes.
Individual. Yeah. Well, he's not quite that bad.
So it's like for
once he starts trolling Twitter for Dong, then he'll be.
Oh my god!
Then he'll be on Amanda Bynes level.
And burning garbage in random people's driveways, which is what she did.
Yeah. So basically, in my mind, it's boiled down to either
he's taking this really weird and very interesting approach to how art is completely cyclical and nothing is new under the sun, or he's just completely batshit crazy.
I think he has, like,
it's a, you know, six to one, half dozen to the other sort of thing.
Yeah. Wait, six to one, half dozen to the other?
Is that... Like, I've never heard of that.
First off, that rolls off the tongue. That's fun to say.
That is a thing.
I've never heard that.
Now you guys are making me weird about it. That's a thing.
I've never... Wait, I believe it's six to one, half dozen to the other?
Yeah.
It's definitely not a West Coast thing.
What? Like...
The phrase, it's saying, like... they're both six, but it's, like, looking at them in different lights.
So it's just a cooler way of saying it's kind of half and half?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude! That's
but
a cool
with
new
it,
phrase.
Like, the added layer of... They're... Like, they look different. But
oh,
because really
you're using different... Because you're using different words,
yeah.
Like six and a half dozen... Wow, that's cool.
Well,
layers.
I dig
there
it.
We go. There we go. You guys are welcome.
Thank you. That's an interesting... That's an
I'm
interesting...
Use that
I did, honestly, I will admit that I did not understand that phrase for a long time.
Until you looked it up?
Yeah.
No, until I really thought about it, because people would say it all the time. Like, it all kind of garbles into, like, one sound.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you're younger, and it's like, six to one, half dozen to the other, and you're like, oh, that's a weird phrase, but whatever. And then you think, you're like, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
It's also very oddly specific, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like one of those things you can mess up, like, ironic or ironically.
Well,
you
pretty much just use it in place of whenever you would say, you know, a little bit of both or something like
that. I feel
that.
Like
yeah.
It's the kind of phrase, though, that if you said it to someone, it would kind of kill the conversation, because the person would immediately have to,
like,
stop
like
and,
right now.
And, like, do, and, like, do math. In their heads.
Well, I mean, no, I just stopped because I had never heard it before. The math wasn't an issue.
Oh, well, I mean, whatever, I guess.
Well, speaking of numbers, and coincidentally the number six, you know what there are six movies of, and possibly actually a seventh of?
Harry Potter. No,
not Harry Potter.
There's seven Harry Potters.
Is it eight?
There's technically
they
eight.
Split,
they
yeah.
split.
7 point.
That's a lot. I never realized how many there were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank. But, no, not the Harry Potter series.
Tell me, Tommy.
No.
The Marvel movies.
There are more than seven of those, aren't there?
Probably.
There's like 20-something.
Yeah, and then another 20 in the works.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about a little something I like to call...
Nightmare on Elm Street.
No. God, no!
I think there are six.
Are there really?
It ended with The Final Dream or the Meta movie.
Yeah.
With Wes Craven's in it.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
The Last Chapter. No, is that it? No,
West Craven's
New
Nightmare.
You're right.
No, I'm just talking about a little thing I like to call Star Wars.
What's that?
It is a movie series franchise that started.
Just kidding!
In
I know what it is.
1977, and the world was never the same.
That was 78.
77, I believe.
Look it up.
Okay.
Google. Everyone loves Google.
It's a very
important sure it's 1977.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Star Wars, interesting series, awesome, grew up with it, love it, I'm one of those fans that tries to take the things that were kind of cool in abstract of the episodes 1 through 3 and have them exist and then forget that 1 through 3 were also movies.
Yeah,
you know?
I think, what do you mean by abstract?
Well, like for example, the concept of the Clone Wars, which was introduced in 4, that is cool. The Commandos, the Clone Commandos spinoffs
were
awesome.
No, for sure. I mean, there's... Okay, I would say that the prequel trilogy introduced... I mean, everybody knows how people feel about this shit. Everybody knows...
Oh, they hate it! They hate us so much! Oh!
Everybody knows that the original three were good, and if you like the prequel trilogy, you're a horrible pleb and nobody respects your opinion.
Toads plebs.
So I don't think we really need to go into that. That's been totally hashed.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I'm just
saying. No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying in case one of us wanted to explain it. I don't think we have to.
No.
But
well, okay.
I do think the prequel trilogy introduced some opportunities for like the expanded universe.
Oh, absolutely.
To have some somewhat cool ideas like, yeah, the Clone Commandos.
Yeah, definitely. I think the only times we should reference the original trilogy, or not the original, the new trilogy.
In hushed tones and in dark whispers.
I don't think we need to, like, pretend it didn't exist, but
I like to do that sometimes.
We don't need a rant about it, because that's easy.
No, yeah, exactly, like, it's been done. But I'm saying we can look at those and see what didn't work, if we're considering episode 7, like, where they should go in the franchise.
Yes.
We can look at 1 through 3 and say, okay, why didn't they work? You know, and there are some obvious answers, but it's still something we should definitely touch on.
Well, I mean, what I think, I don't know. Okay, I like that vein of thought. I'm going to jump on that. So, one of the big things, and I think it was Red Letter Media Review that did it.
Let's plug that, because those are some good videos.
Yeah, and there was another guy who, I forget what his name was, but he did an individual, he created what the episodes 1 through 3 should have been.
Oh, yeah.
He rewrote the script, and it made way more sense, and it was way more coherent.
It was on YouTube, right?
It was on YouTube, yeah. What I believe that they should focus on, at least in terms of a creative perspective, first, with episode 7, is they should make it have a singularly focused storyline.
Yeah, agree.
It should not have a bunch of parallel universes. It's not a TV show. TV shows are the only things that can really be like, you have two separate things going on with, like, three of the characters here and three of the characters here, and then they kind of interact at the end.
Yeah. The YouTube guy, his name is Michael Barite of Belated Media.
Belated Media. Yeah.
Okay.
So he wrote, or he made some videos called What If Star Wars Episode 2 Was Good? Like, really good. And it's humorous and, I think, a pretty accurate portrayal of what went wrong and what they could have done better.
I mean, to be quite honest, I actually, when I'm watching it and watching him explain it, that's how I envision 1 through 3 in my head, conceptually.
Yeah. See, here's, going off what you said, Tommy, here's my biggest problem, which I have many, but my biggest problem of 1 through 3 is that George Lucas was so wrapped up in the happenings that were like the global and planetary happenings of the world that he thought that was what he should show us, like the trade negotiations and the big shifts in power, instead of focusing on characters and the small things. It was like, and now here's the Senate doing this. Like, yes, I get it, like, historically.
I think that, the whole Senate, Adam. The whole Senate, true story.
Yeah, I think historically, yes, that's the most important thing that was happening in the Star Wars universe right then.
Yeah.
But as far as watching it, it's not very interesting.
He just didn't understand, I guess, who the demographic was, because he put in, you know, very childish elements. I don't mean childish, like
things that kids can go in, you know, he
didn't know who to market it to, kids or adults, because, you know, when I thought I was 8 or something, I didn't know what the hell a trade federation was or a blockade. I didn't know any of that stuff, and it was very confusing.
Yeah.
But then he puts in stuff like Jar Jar or you know, various other,
like Anakin as a kid, the pod racing. Again, going not to rant on the first three a whole lot.
I think everything that's been said there.
Yeah, but I think we can all agree on that. The seven should be very focused in terms of its storyline. It should obviously.
Before we go into number 7, let's talk about the original trilogy a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Because everybody loves Raymond, and Raymond loves the original trilogy.
Of course he does. That's why everyone loves Raymond.
Therefore, everybody, through association, everybody loves the original trilogy. I know a lot of people say that even though everybody loves the original trilogy, maybe they weren't such great movies. Mm-hmm. Now, it's hard for me to look at them objectively. Why do you think... I mean, because I grew up with the movies, so it's hard to look at them and think, why would somebody think this is a bad movie? Now, what do you think about that?
I mean,
everybody takes for granted that old movie's good, new movie's bad, but the new movies, if you really do think about it, they weren't, you know, the dialogue was pretty shoddy, there were plenty of plot holes. I mean, what do you guys think?
Here's what I will say about the first... Well, here's what I think are amazing about the first three movies. I think there's three key things. First, you know, the fact that you had a simple... rendition of the whole good versus evil plot, but at the same time, in a way that was very well portrayed given the cast. Now, granted, yes, writing was shoddy. You know, they didn't invent good writing until, you know, the late 70s. But I mean, I don't know. Like, the characters, the whole interaction, and the entire universe was very interesting. It was very new to a lot of people. It really brought sci-fi along with Star Trek into the foray of people's minds.
I think what makes the original trilogy a lot better is just that they just worked as movies. They were, you know, there were outside editors that took what Lucas had and they just made them into just, you know, a fun sort of action summer movie.
Yeah.
Plus, the way it played with, like, universal themes and portrayed the universal themes in very stark black and white, there's something very appealing about that. Like, Darth Vader.
It was very minimalist.
And, of course, you know, like, the whole, like, yeah, exactly, very minimalist. The bad guy is black, and he has a cape, you know, and but then and you see his face, and he has humanity suddenly, and there's, like, really things that kids can understand. Like, I think Star Wars is a great, like, beginner for kids to understand about basic morality. And, like, gray areas.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to what we've always talked about with storytelling as being a method to, you know, portray morality.
It kind of fits in with our theme of the show because, you know, the original trilogy is very fairytale-like and very... There's a lot of archetypes, you know. You've got the good guy, you've got the bad guy, you've got the mentor character, you've got the roguish side character and his pal. And it all fits, everything fits into these nice little places, and they work well together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Except when you write / make the movie Aragon, and it's basically, it's a rip off of episode 4.
Yeah. No, but like, there's literally Freudian archetypes, like the Dark Father. Like, there's Freudian archetypes in Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. On top of which, like, you put it in all of a sudden this entirely new universe that people run with. Like, the amount of you know,
that's a bonus to having it be so sparse detail wise, because people can write in stuff, you know, if they want to. They can imagine, you know, filling in the blanks with
extra things. That was a difference between Star Wars and Star Trek, is that Star Trek was very like based in science. Everything was science. Star Wars is more interested in the legend, you know? Star Wars doesn't really go into the specifics, which is why
Star Wars,
whole Metachlorian thing was bad, because it took away from the, like, majesty.
Yeah, it grounded it too much.
Yeah,
I would argue that Star Wars is more fantasy than science fiction.
Yeah, I
would agree with that, actually.
It definitely has, like the princess, and, like, Darth Vader is, like, the monster
guarding
her.
The giant,
you know,
castle is the Death Star.
Yeah. A lot of those things.
If 7's going to be somehow, you know, because what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to try and recreate the magic that was in the original trilogy. And so they're going to have to introduce this dark character again. And that's going to be hard, because guess what? The Emperor's dead, and you also have... The death of, you know, Darth Vader, so it's not like he can come back and be evil again.
Well, if it is possible that they could come up with some new elements, I would be fine with that, depending. But if they were to use somebody, a somewhat established character already, who do you think it could / should be?
I think...
For example...
It should be Yzan Azzard.
Oh, okay.
I would be all about Yzan Azzard.
Can you explain to our listeners and to me?
He's the green-skinned guy.
No, that's... Yzan Azzard is a woman.
Wait. No, who am I thinking of?
You're not thinking of Thrawn, are you?
No, he's green-skinned, and he's got, like, a ponytail, and he...
Oh, Prince Xizor.
Yeah, that's what
Xizor would be badass, too.
He would be all right. I was also thinking about Thrawn. Anyways, but I'm not sure who this...
Okay, so there's a lot of fan fiction of Star Wars. I read a lot of it.
Is this fan fiction or, like, official?
It's official.
Okay.
It's, like, officially, it's got the LucasArts seal of
not
approval.
Not fan fiction.
So, yeah, no, but Yzan Azzard is the main villain in the X-Wing series, which focuses on Wedge Antilles in the New Republic.
Who's the boss?
Who is very boss. And he's trying to recreate Rogue Squadron, the original. He's trying to recreate Rogue Squadron as an actual military fighting force. And the New Republic wants him to do it for all of these, like, you know, give the people hope and things and yay. And so he's like, well, shit, fine, I'll do it. And it ends up being a very critical military ops team that ends up saving the New Republic. Now, what a lot of people, gather from the end, if you just follow the movies, the Empire is done after Return of the Jedi. It's over, it's killed, etc. But
except when the Emperor comes back, but whatever.
Let's not talk about the Emperor's clone! Let's not talk about the Emperor. So, in the storylines, though, people actually take it and make sense out of it. Because if you have this giant galactic empire that's evil and crazy, it's not going to go away because the Emperor died. No, you're going to have somebody come and take over, the next logical person to take control.
Yeah.
Was that Thrawn?
Yes and no. Because what ended up happening in the books was the Empire split into two. One was the current Empire, which stayed on Coruscant and had that as its head until the New Republic came in and booted it. And it was led by a woman named Yzan Azzard, also known as Iceheart. And the reason she was called Iceheart is because she had a mutation that made one eye cold blue and the other eye fiery red. And she is basically a tactical strategist cunning badass.
I can see the fan art now.
Yeah.
So her eyes were like the Twi'lek home planet.
Twi'lek home planet? Yeah, Ryloth? Yeah, I guess that's true. So, God, I remember so much about Star Wars right now.
We should have a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode. If you are not a nerd, you will hate us.
Yes.
At the end of this episode.
I would just like to say that these two are the nerds, Star Wars nerds. I appreciate the universe, but I am not delved to the depths.
Wow.
Which, I'm not, that's not a hateful thing to, like, I...
No, we need diversity.
Yeah.
So.
I represent the audience.
So that's what happened to the Empire. Yzanazar took over, or Yzanazar, I can't remember how you pronounce her name.
Yeah.
She took over, she was in charge of the Empire, and she was badass and awesome. What ended up also happening was there were pockets of the Empire that were taken over by Grand Admirals who controlled that sector. So you had warlords.
Yeah. Because space is big, and the Empire obviously was very sprawling, so it kind of sectioned itself off.
Right.
Like, did that happen with Rome?
Yeah, actually, that exact same thing happened with Rome, and that was probably a lot of the historical basis and reconstruct for the Star Wars universe. Out of all of the warlords, Thrawn was the biggest and the baddest.
Grand Admiral Thrawn, yeah.
Thrawn was a great character, too.
Very, kind of James Bondy.
James Bondy?
James Bondy. In his...
Sounds like an adult film star.
Like this. James Bondage. He's probably... He's kind of stereotypical, but he's cool. He even has, like, a little cat alien creature that he holds and, you know, pets while skiing.
Well, so he's more like a Doctor, like a Dr. No or Dr. Evil kind of character.
Yeah.
He literally has, he strokes his alien cat as he, like,
look what you did to Mr. Picklesworth!
He's got blue skin, red eyes.
Who should play Admiral Thrawn?
Oh,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm sorry.
So sick
okay,
of
if you,
Cumberbatch.
If you,
I get it. JJ has a relationship with him.
Okay, if you don't think about him doing all this other stuff and the market being saturated with his face, he would be good.
He would be perfect. Yeah. If I couldn't have Benedict Cumberbatch playing it,
I think he would be great.
I'm very against very high profile actors taking high profile roles.
Yeah.
That being said, it's fun to think about, and he would make a good Thrawn.
I'm trying to think. There's one other person that I actually thought of with that question who would be a great Thrawn, and
David Bowie.
David Bowie would actually
20
be...
years ago, yes.
No, right now.
No.
I was imagining Thrawn to be older.
He's in his 40s.
He's not old. David Bowie is
David
old.
Bowie does not look that
he's
old.
He's cracked.
Like if you did some makeup, no, he'd be fine.
Okay, that's a cool idea.
I just want David Bowie to be like Ziggy Stardust in space in Star Wars.
Bowie's in space!
That's all I want.
Yeah, and then, like, right before the credits, he just, like, looks at the camera and he's like, I guess Bowie's in space.
Bowie in
roll credits!
Yeah, no, I'll come back to who I'm trying to think, I can't remember, but
let's...
Yzanazar would be awesome.
She would be
played
cool.
by,
Because she's a chick?
Yeah, by Olivia Wilde. I would want Olivia Wilde to play a villain.
I like Olivia Wilde.
Oh, yeah. I think Olivia Wilde would be a fantastic as Anna.
Even though she has an awful track record box office-wise. Not that I think episode 7 will have her problems.
No, because some of the major stuff...
And
then she's been in indie films.
That was just a tidbit. No, it's an internet thing that basically, whenever she's in a movie, the movie flops. Like, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with her acting. It's just like...
She's a great actor,
She picks bad movies to
she's,
be
Yeah,
in.
She's just got... Yeah,
yeah.
That's, she's got
bad
luck.
Now, I think it would be cool... As much as I want... the new Star Wars movie to have nothing to do with Jedi, the Force, or lightsabers, that's never going to happen.
Right.
So it would be cool if they went old school and went way back, and even did a movie about some of the ancient Sith Lords like Darth Nihilus.
So go Knights of the Old Republic style.
Yeah, I mean, I would
really
enjoy...
Are you
really
allowed to do that, to have another sequel be a prequel?
No,
episode 7.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. You could...
Yeah.
I guess that would be difficult, so they probably won't.
Yeah.
But I'm just spitballing here.
That would be awesome.
Something I would like to see.
What I think is that I also think that it'd be awesome if they got away from the whole lightsabers force thing and introduced new elements, new characters. But
I mean,
I think
Star Wars.
Well, that was
Star
what
Wars
the
Galaxy
that was what the Smuggler
so,
show on HBO was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But I think that they should save that for all the spin-off movies that they've been talking about.
Yeah, and they will do
that. That will explore the underworld of
Star
Wars.
Be the main.
Yeah, and keep Star Wars being the main storyline.
I agree. I mean, there would be way too much backlash from the, I guess, non-intelligent, for lack of a better word, fans.
Two things.
They'd be like, oh, there's no Jedi.
They'd show up to the midnight screening in all their robes and
They
but two things. First of all, I think that the fact that the three principal actors, Carrie Fisher, you know, they're all alive, you know, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, like, they're all alive. So you would be an idiot not to use all three of them.
I mean, even looking at what J.J. Abrams has done, he put Spock back in the original.
Sure,
so, I mean, he'll do it.
Yeah. Also, I want J.J. Abrams, I'm sure he doesn't, he's a very intelligent man, but for him to really understand that. He is not going to... It's impossible to please everyone.
Oh,
you know?
Of course.
No, any direction he goes... And he's very good at going,
so
like,
he
middle.
Yeah.
Like, with his Star Trek reboot, like, he did old Star Trek, introduced a new Star Trek. Like, he, like, walked that fine line.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
when he introduced,
why,
when he introduced the timeline.
Good,
why
I think he's a good choice.
Yeah. Besides the fact that, like, it's hard to see someone helming both Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of weird, but...
It is, but...
However, here is my idea of what should happen. Mm. I think that, you know, the Jedi are supposed to be these crazy, larger-than-life characters, and they need, I think, if you got to put them in the movie, you got to put them in the movie, but have them be this kind of background, scary, like, ominous force/presence.
People talk about them.
People talk about them. You don't see them very often. When one shows up,
it
gets
deal.
Real.
It's
you
like,
know,
that would be
people
awesome.
Are so saturated with just Jedi and lightsaber twirling fights that it doesn't have the same power that
it once did.
They try to show that in the movie, you know, when the Jedi, who you've been following for the whole movie, shows up in front of other people, and they try to show the other people being like, whoa, it's a Jedi. But the audience doesn't really get that feeling because they've been watching this character the whole time, so they're like,
In episodes 1 and 3, like, there are so many Jedis, and, like, they die like flies. Like, eventually, like, there's no majesty to them at all. They're a glorified warrior. They're like, we're pretty good with lightsabers, but get attacked by three stormtroopers.
Robots can kill us.
Yeah, but a robot will kill you. Like, I want Jedis to be rare, and when they show up, like...
They're a force of nature, basically.
I want JJ to create new force powers, create new things that we haven't seen.
That's why I really liked that video game, The Force Unleashed, because that really brought back, even though the main character was a force user, you know, it really gave some gravitas back to force users, because the idea of the game was to be, you were this secret apprentice of Darth Vader, but it amped all your force abilities up to 11. So, for example... There's a scene where you use the force to pull a giant Star Destroyer out of orbit and crash it into a planet, which is force usage on a scale that nobody had ever seen before. And it really brings back some of the, wow, you know, this is some intense stuff. I really like that.
That is how, I'm calling it, that is how Episode 7, the climax of Episode 7, has to be with the main new... Because I'm sure there'll be a new upstart Jedi, like, you know, person that will follow his path. He has to move a planet with the Force. Like Yoda says, the Force can move planets. It's like something that Yoda says, and we're all just like, okay, that's some abstract thing. That has to actually happen.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. The thing I kind of want... I want that same thing,
like
but I want it with something different. Here's what I want it with, and this is gonna maybe sound a little crazy... But I want it to be with Boba Fett.
Nope.
I want...
Nope.
Yep, and here's...
Here's
what's going to happen.
Might be a bad call.
I will not even watch the movie.
If it has Boba Fett in it.
Why?
I am so sick of Boba.
No, but that's why I'm saying it'll... I want
I've never
okay,
even liked
the
him in the first
The reason why
place.
The fans are so rabid is because he never gets any sort of justice or attention on the level that he should.
Well, he's just
that's
a
why
bounty
people,
hunter.
But he's not.
But do you remember why everyone loved this?
No,
like,
I understand.
The first
I understand
Death
why.
I mean, why do you like Riddick? He's basically the same kind of character as Riddick.
Kind of, yeah. No, like I like don't get me wrong. Like Boba Fett's cool and stuff, but people take him to this level where he's like the ultimate badass, and it's just
He's not the ultimate badass, but he is a badass. I mean, just to jump back to Riddick for a second, that's basically what happened when Pitch Black came out. Riddick was in it. He wasn't the main character. He was the side character.
Yeah. people gravitate towards side
and people were like, wow,
characters.
This dude is really cool. We want to see more of him. And then the director and Vin Diesel were like, people really like this guy. All right, let's do a movie about Riddick. They did. It was good. They did another one. Also good.
Yeah.
But George Lucas is like, people really like Boba Fett. Let's have him die in the most ignoble way possible.
Yeah.
Let's have a prequel where we show his dad being cool. But he also dies in a horrible way, too. But then you totally make him a whiny little kid and just make everybody mad. That's why people get so up in arms about Boba Fett as a character, is because we've yet to actually seen the character.
Yeah. No, here's what I want, though. Here's what I'm talking about. Let's put it this way. In Episode 7, the most I want Boba Fett to be in it is that they mention he did something. That, to the point where it's clear he's still alive.
I think it would be cool to see him.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, because they're going to do 8 and 9, and then he has one awesome scene in 8, and then he's gone.
You know, I would be okay with that. I don't think doing a movie on him is, you know, that would just not gel
no,
with
he
the
shouldn't,
way
no, he
Hollywood
shouldn't.
Works.
He shouldn't be a main character. He should.
Yes. I mean, the reason why people like him in the first place is because he was a mysterious character that people didn't really know anything about. He showed up very briefly, said some cool stuff, did some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they should keep that trend, I think.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I will think that we can agree that they should not, and I repeat very heavily, should not have the Yuuzhan Vong be the bad element. For those who don't know, the extended universe has a part in the later years which scarily would add up to how old Harrison Ford, Cary Grant, and Luke Hamill are now in the Star Wars
series.
You know,
honestly, I had forgotten all about the Yuuzhan Vong, and now that you mention it,
I am scared.
The Fusion Vong?
No, the Yuuzhan Vong. So essentially, it was like, take Star Wars, which is already in this entirely huge space universe with aliens and space-imajigs and whatever, and now all of a sudden you have this invasion force of aliens
so
from nowhere.
Republic, the New Republic is set up, everybody's joshing, having a good time, and then, this random species that no one had ever seen before that's all about this, like, organic biomatter. Like, their spaceships are alive, and they, like, connect with them, their armor's alive, and they're just... They look kind of like zombies, but...
It's like zombie plus praying mantis plus aliens.
They're really
weird,
you know, they're pretty freaky
it's
looking.
Just, it's
they
just...
show up, they start wrecking house.
Yeah.
Pretty much almost win.
Yeah.
Main characters die.
Yeah.
Like, Chewbacca died,
Chewbacca dies, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, the reason I don't think they should go towards that is because, first off, you know, if you're going to have that in the extended universe, fine, like, okay, that's the logical... Maybe it's a point you can get to in 70 years after this, the Return of the Jedi, but, like, you have this already space universe, and even though it would make sense if you're in that space universe for that to happen, it would be... It's not like Halo. Let's put it this way. Halo, for example, all you have are human beings. All you have are human beings just with space flight, and then all of a sudden you have an alien race that you've never heard of destroying everything.
Yeah.
That makes sense given the primitive nature of human beings. In this one, you have a fucking huge galactic society of tons of
people.
Everybody knows everybody.
And the E.T. aliens are there.
The E.T. aliens were there. Yeah.
J.J., almost anyone will make a Star Wars movie that we have never seen, and it will blow people's minds. Even, like, a decent director making Star Wars will blow our minds, because it'll just be things
and
that we
Abrams
haven't seen.
And Abrams is a... decent director.
Fantastic action
I think
director.
He'll do a good job.
Yeah.
And also, as long as they have to remember that bigger isn't better.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in Star Wars, it's like, no, we're going to have all these Jedi fighting, all these clones. Wasn't very interesting. I mean, the best action scene of any of the Star Wars movies is in Episode 2, right? Like, at the end. Like, with Star Wars and Luke fighting on the Cloud City. Like, that's the ultimate
that's
Star
the
Wars
mean,
battle.
You mean Vader and Luke fighting?
What did I say?
You said Star Wars and Luke.
Star Wars and Luke.
Luke, that going meta
Star
and fighting
Wars.
The whole universe.
Yeah, sorry.
No, or Vader like, or Luke. Like, the chase scene on Endor?
Like, yeah.
When they're on the speeder bikes?
But like,
that was fucking
that
awesome.
Fight scene was, like, minimalist. I want this movie to be tight. I want this movie not to, like, let itself go. I want it to be very focused, you know, and not be afraid to really delve into characters. Also, Star Wars, the original trilogy...
I want is let's just have some good acting, people.
Yeah.
Let's just have some good, solid acting.
Well, based on the kinds of people who JJ's been talking to, that it's a very talented group of people.
Yeah.
I know, what's her name? Scarce Ronan? However you say her name.
Swarce.
You know, like...
Who's she again?
From Hannah and, like, That one girl.
The young girl.
Oh, okay. I can never pronounce her name. But she's been,
I think it's like Swarce.
Yeah,
Swarce. Like
she's been approached, like, a lot of... I forget other ones, but I remember reading a list and being like, damn, like, this sounds amazing. I know Gary Oldman's been approached. Mm-hmm. Like, come
Gary
on.
Oldman can take anything and just be amazing.
I know.
Same with, which is, again, Owen McGregor, too. I fucking love Owen McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
Oh, man, is that not one? That should be one.
No, that should be a meme.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I just want a picture right now. Like, I want JJ.
I want
JJ not to do his whole, like, I'm gonna be secretive and, like, I'm not gonna tell you it's con. I want, like, just one, like, just
when do you,
an
when
official
do you think
still.
We're gonna hear something?
I don't know. Wait, what's the
date? It's supposed
to
come out
a year
from now?
It's slated for 2015.
But who knows?
I
need
probably.
Something. I just need something to tie me over.
Yeah, I want a teaser image. I want...
Yeah.
I will say, if Xan Azard is the bad guy,
I mean, all we
I will
need,
flip shit.
All we need is a silhouette for the speculation to start.
Just give
flying.
Me a close-up of an eye, and I will, like, lose
something,
my shit.
Yeah. It would blow everybody's mind if... they put up a poster with something like that that clicked in all these fans' minds and you instantly knew what it was. But I would also... I think I'm really hoping for something that is just new.
Yeah.
That people are... And just,
what is it?
Like, you can speculate
not,
about.
Because that's another
all.
Thing. They
yeah.
don't have to go off the fan universe. They can
no,
straight up make their
yeah.
own shit.
It could just go... He could go completely original.
Because here's the thing. The fan universe was created because of these core films. If the next core film is being based
yeah.
on this, let's call it fan fiction, even though it's official,
yeah.
it's fan fiction, that's not advancing the universe.
Right.
Instead
of just filling a slot that
yeah.
somebody's already drawn out,
do
you create
new.
A new.
And then
you know,
a million
home.
Other fan writers
yeah.
will expand that universe.
Yeah.
Like, they are very talented, a lot of them. They will.
My example.
They will take
up.
It into interesting places, but do something different. That's all I want. I mean, yeah, you have to respect the originals, but, like, come on, like, make it your own. You're not going to please a lot of people. People will be pissed off at you. Screw it. Like, do something totally different.
I'm just excited. I can't. I just
listen
don't know.
To your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Marie Callender's.
Yeah, let's go to Marie Callender's.
Bring me a pop of. A pack of Virginia Slim Ultralight 100s while you're there. I can't handle these mobs.
Well, we're running out of time, so any last words, anybody?
No.
Nice talking at you guys. Thanks for listening. Beat me up, Scotty. Oh, wait, that's wrong.
All right, get out. All right, peace, everybody.
Good.